bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. And a welcome to all of our people here. Special welcome to our visitors. Glad to have you here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 for a jumping off place. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll read verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let's jump. Let's go back up to verse 20 and read down to 27. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove that foot from evil. Who has your heart this morning? I wasn't exactly sure this is the right title, and yet it does fit. Who has your heart? You know, this phrase here, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. This heart could include our feelings and emotions, our thoughts, even the why we do what we do, but it's more than that. The heart is the very center of our being, the very core of our heart, the very core of our life. It's the inner man. You know, the part that we talk about when we say, when we quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's that heart. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are recommended, we're commanded to guard our heart, the fountain of life, with diligence, with vigilance, and awareness. Because that is the source of everything that comes out of our life. It's the source of our feelings. It's the source of our emotions. It's the source of our actions, our will, and our intellect. It's what makes you you and what makes me me. So this morning, who has your heart? Who has my heart? This message was inspired by an article I read in the Calvary Messenger this week, earlier this week. It was written by Ryan Stolzfus from Dobson, North Carolina. I don't know him. But last night I emailed him. He had emailed there. His address was in the Calvary Messenger. So I emailed him and asked him if I could use some of his thoughts in a message this morning. And he very graciously granted that permission. So, I want to give glory where glory is due. I mean, he definitely said he wants the Word of God to have free course. And he didn't try to take any honor to himself. And yet, some of these thoughts are his thoughts. And I want to not try to use his thoughts and portray them as mine. I'm not sure exactly the title of the article. Can't remember that. But he asked this question, who has the best pickup truck? Then he gave this example. And he was reminiscing back to his school days. I'm just going to read what he wrote. A memory that stands out was the old arguments we boys had about trucks. The passion and the investment of each of my friends, that each of my friends put in these arguments were impressive. Each boy was convinced that he was right, and he was more than willing to defend his opinion. The Ford boys would loudly proclaim that Ford is the best, and the Chevy boys would violently disagree. Then the Dodge boys would chime in, adding a third option to the mix. The boys argued endlessly. They cited YouTube videos for evidence. They came up with elaborate acronyms, found on road dead, that type of thing to describe a truck they disliked. One striking thing about these arguments is that very seldom was one boy won over to another truck brand. And I don't know if I've ever heard of that a schoolboy was won over to another truck brand except under one condition. And I'll try to get to that a little later. One striking thing about these arguments is very seldom was one boy won over to another truck brand. It didn't matter if the arguments were logical or flawed. Each boy stood by his truck. In fact, often the only thing that changed a boy's mind was if his dad switched trucks, truck brands. And again, it was the reason he switched, the boy was willing to switch his light to a different truck brand was because his dad switched truck brand. You understand? You follow me? Because his dad and dad's truck had his heart. This morning, who has your heart? I thought about doing a little test here, asking these boys up front. Maybe the girls. I don't know if girls ever get into that argument. I don't know. Never heard of that. But I thought of asking the boys which trucks they like, and then compare that with their dad's truck, see if it lines up. I don't think I'm going to do that. But it would be interesting. Now, this is not necessarily about dads having their boys' heart, although it definitely adds, comes into this. I wrote down a small bunny trail, and I wanted to talk a little bit about having our boys' heart. Dads, having your boys' heart. You know, when our boys are small, they're young, this is the bunny trail. We have a wonderful, wonderful gift and opportunity because we have our boys' heart. We not only have an opportunity, but we have a responsibility to keep their hearts and confidence. You know, it's very easy to get so busy that we neglect our boys' heart and think that, you know, no news is good news. We're not hearing anything coming out of school that is bad. We're not hearing anything that, you know, when we come home from work and mom is all frustrated and said little Johnny was so disobedient today, Well, that's a sign of problems. Well, if that doesn't happen, then we think no news is good news. It could be. But friends, we can rapidly lose our boys' heart. We need to pray for them daily, often. You know, spend time with them. If you want to keep your boy's heart, spend time with them. Ask them questions. You know, some fathers aren't hunters or fishermen. I know, my in-laws, he was not a hunter or a fisher. And it's just kind of hard for me to imagine that you wouldn't like to go hunting or fishing. It's just kind of hard for me to imagine that. Well, whatever you find yourself interested in doing, whatever you find your boy's heart, spend time in that. I'm not talking about, bad stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking good stuff. Just spending time with them. Work with them. Help them on their job. And allow them to help you with your work. Keep their heart, I guess is my question, my thought. You know, one of the quickest ways to lose their heart is to neglect them in their formative years. Because we're too busy to play with them, to get down on the floor with them. You know, it's okay for dads to get a little rowdy with your boys. It's okay. Maybe you feel different. That's okay. Giving horsey rides, that gets kind of rowdy sometimes. It gets kind of, you know, when five children pile on you and you're trying to stay upright and they're slapping you on the back and say, "Get up, get up!" You know, that's kind of gets kind of rowdy after a while. But it's making memories. It's keeping their heart. It's being a dad. Go out and play pitch and catch with them. Fly a kite. Help them with their schoolwork. Their homework. Help them in their interests. Read Bible stories to them. We cannot, as dads, we cannot afford to depend on mom to do all the Bible reading. If we do this, we're sending a bad message. Because we don't have time for our boys, we don't have time for God. Read Bible stories. You know, if we don't make time for our boys today, very likely they will not have time for us later. It's just the way it works. You know, it's pretty easy for us to think as dads that we can buy our boys' heart. It's pretty easy to think that we can buy their happiness, their confidence. But friends, history tells us otherwise. Toys and gifts create a bitter heart and a bitter harvest. Again, I'm not saying you can't give toys and gifts, but don't depend on that to keep your boys' heart. Many dads have lamented the fact that he lost his son's heart because of neglect. So again, start today. Show interest. Be a dad. If the sons are grown, still invest in their heart, in their lives. We can show the distant and disobedient by following the example of Christ. We don't have to support them in wrong choices. No, not at all. But we can still show an interest in their life. Pray again. Pray without ceasing. Now, end of bunny trail. Going back to growing up in an Amish community, you know, obviously we didn't argue about trucks because trucks wasn't in our vocabulary as such. But we did have the same argument about tractors. And again, it was down the same line. The tractor that Dad had was the best tractor for us boys. It didn't matter, was it a International, didn't matter if it was John Deere. Even some had Deutz and Whites. I don't even know if Deutz and Whites is still going. But that was real. Remember one time, soon after Dad passed away, the church men would come in and they would do our field work. We had lived on a farm. They would do our field work. They would bring in choppers and combines and whatever the harvest is. And this one young farmer brought in a white tractor. I mean, it wasn't white. That was the model of it. I mean, the make of it. He brought in this white tractor, and my little brother, he was young. I don't even remember how old he was. Probably not more than 4 or 5. It was just enough. He was old enough. He could talk, but he couldn't talk very plainly. Or he got his letters mixed up sometimes. And he was so impressed with this tractor. And obviously the young man made an impression on him too, because he said, "When I grow up, I'm going to have me a wipe." That's the way he said it. "I'm going to have me a wipe." And that's all he could talk about for a while. And I think this tractor and the young man had his heart. So again, who has your heart this morning? Who has my heart? You know, the same arguments of which tractor could be better, which could pull the most. You know, we kind of have this silly argument that we could hook two tractors together with a chain and we'd both go one direction, and my dad's tractor can pull your dad's tractor backwards without even a struggle. You know, adults, we sometimes smile at these foolish arguments. Are we any better today? Or do we hide it a little bit better? Brother Ryan goes on to say this. This example reveals an important part of human nature. That is, we humans are guided more by our hearts than by our minds, our heads. We are primarily lovers, not thinkers. We are mainly thinking, if we were mainly thinking beings, there would probably have been more boys, or some boys at my school that would have changed their opinions because of another boy's convincing argument. You know, he's saying if we'd have been thinkers instead of just lovers, or just, yeah, we would, the boys would have been, and I could understand what he means. But the boys refused to budge, not because the argument for the competing truck was bad, but because they loved their dad's truck and their dad. Sure, they used logic, thinking, arguments, but mostly to defend their love. So then, the love of our heart, whether good or bad, affects our discernment. Is that right? I think it is. It affects our discernment. It affects our judgment and what we accept as true. As we recognize and understand this truth and the many ways it plays out in our life, how are we then able to align ourselves and our heart with God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are some things that we must put in place so that we are assured that our heart is not misleading us or deceiving us? What are some steps that we must take to help us avoid having a misplaced love of our heart? Number one, I think, is to recognize our heart's evil tendencies. Now, I'm talking not love of tractors, love of trucks. I'm talking love of God, Christian life. Our heart's evil tendencies and our own inability to know our heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Following our heart is not a safe guide. My heart, without Jesus Christ, is wicked and very deceitful. With Christ, we still have to realign and align our hearts with Jesus Christ, or it will still lead us astray. Our heart will never be necessarily... we will never be rid of our carnal nature. It's always there. So we have to work with this. We do get a new nature, yes, through Christ Jesus. But our old nature is not eradicated. You know, when we truly understand that our heart, when this truth that our heart is deceitful, when this truth becomes riveted in our minds and in our heart, then we are made aware, we can be made aware and convinced the tendencies of our heart is evil continually. It also establishes an awareness and carefulness to search our heart daily to see if we're in the love of God. My heart invariably wants its own way. And I would venture to say that yours does too. Our hearts want our own way. And unless arrested by Jesus Christ and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will do everything it can to have its own way. Now, the second part of that portion of Scripture is allow the Lord to search our heart. The first one is recognize that our heart is deceitful. Now, then it says in Jeremiah 17:10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." In Revelation, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, there was a verse. We touched on that. Verse 23. "And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the heart of the reins and the hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works." Again, this reins and the heart is talking about the deepest emotional, way down, that makes up the core of our life. It's this thing, the thing where everything springs forth. The Lord is searching that part of our heart. He wants to cleanse it, make it new, give us a heart that walks after him, that desires to do his will. King David's advice and instruction to Solomon, his son, when David was ready to die, 1 Chronicles 28:9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches the hearts and understandest all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Again, allowing the Lord to search our heart to see if there's any wicked way in us. I was going to read Psalm 139:23-24 at the end, but there it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart." The Lord knows our heart better than we do. The Lord knows our heart much better than we do ourselves. You know, again, receiving direction from the Lord and the Holy Spirit and admitting our heart's deficiencies will go a long ways towards God being able to connect with our heart and cleanse it from all unrighteousness. Number three, let's open our hearts to the brethren. And this is a tricky one because it's amazing to me how many times we say we want the brethren to be brutally honest with us when they see something that is not as it should be. And yet, when they do say something, we have all kinds of excuses why we do these things. You ever notice that? We say we want the brethren's input, and yet when a brother does say something, we say, well, this is, and they have all kinds of excuses why we do it. It takes tremendous amount of humility. But this is one of the steps that we're going to have if we want our heart not to be deceiving us. Because in the multitude of counsel, there is safety, the Bible tells us. We don't really want to change, do we? Not really. Because again, we have all kinds of excuses why we can, should, and will continue thinking and living as we have been. If we want a discerning heart, we need to be willing to hear what the brethren say. To be accountable to them. To brethren we can trust. You know, it's more than the other day, was it this week? Brian put that little survey on Signal about how many would do Christmas caroling on the 18th. You remember that? And there was like 18 responses. Me. How hard was it to, if I would put this on the church men's chat, how many of you feel like I am, whatever. In a short time, 18 people would say, yes, I would agree with you. You know, this is more than just a survey. This is more than an online thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. This is more than a like on a status. This is brethren face to face being accountable. Being willing to hear what we probably do not want to hear. You know, let's be honest, we really, really don't like when others point out our faults and our shortcomings and our mistakes, because we do the things we do because our heart loves them. So number four, we need to change the love of our heart. We need to direct our love towards God in his word. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Remember, keep this in mind. Change the love of our heart. Change the to direct our love towards God and His Word. Mark 12, verse 39. I think I have the wrong reference. It's 29, I think. 29 to 31. And Jesus answered him, if we go back to verse 28, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Change the love of our heart. Redirect our love towards God and His Word. You know, we will not listen to reason or truth when the love of our heart is questioned, threatened, or attacked. Nor will our life's trajectory and actions change until the love of our heart is changed. That's when we start changing, is when the love of our heart is changed toward God. Unless our loves are changed, we will continue to make bad choices and justify what we do. Another quote by Ryan, Brother Ryan, was, we must remember that we often use our minds, our thinking, our minds to justify what our hearts want. Who has your heart? Who has mine? What kind of a heart do we have? Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A quote by James K.A. Smith. I don't know who he is. If the heart is like a compass, then we need to regularly calibrate our hearts, tuning them to be directed to the Creator, our magnetic north. Again, I'd like to ask the question, who has our heart? Where is our heart directed to? Is it directed towards the love of God? Or do we love to have our own way, and we will not change the direction of our love because we just love to have our own way? May we give God our heart. Let's kneel for prayer.